Lord laid on my heart about a week ago to have Sherman to speak to us tonight. So I'm going to ask him to come around and share with us what's on his heart, whether long or short, testify, whatever you want to do, brother. You can even sing.
All right.
You won't be. That's brand new. That's
all
yours.
Right.
Good to see you. God bless you.
Glad to see everyone here tonight. Look forward to this. I like teaching the Word of God. It's one of my favorite things to do. What is my favorite thing to do? Except leading someone to the Lord. I like that a lot too. So two things that make me very nervous, but I really enjoy it. You know, but I really like it. He was talking about testifying. I would just like to say, I really like witnessing to people. You know, like at where I work. And right now, this week, the last few weeks, we're in market, and they moved me from place to place because I'm a guy who apparently learns fast and does a good job. And so everywhere I go, you know, they've learned that they can put me anywhere and keep it going. So everybody I run into, before I get to know them, I want to ask them if they know the Lord. Now, don't put this that way. You know, like that, I say, I work with them a few minutes or something like that, and I say, can I ask you a question? And they say, well, sure. And I said, if I was asked you, could you tell me how to get to heaven? You know, and I see what they got to say. You know, like that, because from then, at that point, I can tell them what I got to say. You know, like that, and tell them about Jesus Christ and Him taking right. upon the sin of the world on Himself, and you know, stuff like that. And you can see a lot of times how some people have never heard it. Some people, you know, have got it, you know, mixed up. They, for some reason, they think Baptists believe that sin, I mean, that baptism washes their sin away, and water, you know, just a lot of different things out there. But I just encourage you to, every time you get the chance, to plant a seed, you know, to do so. You know, I was, I used it as, I try to study the Bible, try to read things, I listen to a lot of preaching, and I put it this way, I feel like if I could think of the right word, we're supposed to be as a dandelion, the flowers that come up, that has all them little white things on, when the wind blows, they'll blow off. Well, that's what I try to put it as. I try to study the Word of God so I can get everybody's questions. I like people asking questions too. You know, I get, because I study up on it and I come back and give them an answer. And that way, because somebody else is going to ask me the same question. And when they do, I have an answer for it. So I try to always be like, you know, the Word of God is the seed itself. It's what it calls it. You know, in the several places it says it's the seed.
Right.
And I try to be like that dandelion. The Holy Spirit, it says, it's represented by the wind. And when I'm in the right place and the wind blows, when I got my seeds ready, they blow across me and I give them out and they go every which way. Some come up and I see it. Some later on will. You know, it says, I try to tell people that I witness to that know the truth. Say, tell everybody. They say sometimes it's hard to speak to people about God. You know, it seems like you don't see nothing come out of it. And I said, you may not hear. You know, like I said, because it says that some sow and some water, but God gives the increase. I might sow the seed here and now, but you may come along, and I may not ever see it a year down the road. You tell them something else. And it's just enough that you water it. And then later on, when trouble comes, when the Holy Spirit moves, that's when God gives the increase. That's when they see their need for salvation. That's when they see the things like that. And I may not ever see it here, but it says that, you know, those who, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountiful, you reap bountiful. So I try to tell as many people as I can. So one day, you know, like that, when I'm in glory or whatever, I can see all the fruits of it. I will return it. It will come again.
Right.
Like that. So yeah. I always try to encourage people to give the Word of God out. You know, like that, and to give. And you have to do it out of love. And if you don't love people, you won't tell them, you won't tell them the truth.
Right.
I found that out a long time ago. you know, it takes courage to tell someone that they're a sinner and they're on the way to hell when you know they're a Catholic. Or when you know, once you find out a lot about them, it seems like a fear builds up. You know, like that. But I like to find the person that I, you know, like that. Some of the wildest looking people is the ones I like to go to and tell them about the Lord. You know, like that. You know, and it seems like I made a, there's this fella, this young black man come and they put him helping. He's got two big old diamond earrings in his ear and stuff like that. And it was a Saturday morning. I done had over 50 hours in. I was kind of tired. And they sent this 19-year-old to come and help me. And he's a pretty built. And he was working me to death. I was just working on the scene. I was like, all right, so I got to, you know, keep up with him or something like that. And he was working. But when we started talking about the Lord and he asked me questions, I had to walk over there. He was so intently listening to me. He wouldn't take his eyes off. I'm answering his questions like that, and I'm now having to walk around and I'm doing his job. But I don't mind, you know, like that, because he's listening like this. He just, you know, just like this. And I was just like, wow, this is good. You know, like that. I just like talking. And I'd say something, he'd ask another question. You know, just keep giving like that. And, you know, I've noticed that people give God respect. You know, like that. It's like the Lord will hush their mouth when you're talking and you're in a crowded room of people and you know that they got bad balance and they do this stuff like that. But if someone says, hey, Sherman, let me ask you a question, and it's about the Lord, and I go to answer it, you can see lots of heads go like this. They kind of get quiet and they listen. You know what I'm saying? Like that. It's like the Lord, well, you know, bless your mouth, they give respect. You know, like that. And that's encouraging to know, too, because a lot of times you think, oh, well, I might not, you know, want to talk about the Lord because they might laugh at me or say something, you know. But it's not. Most of the time, it's just the fear that you fear for nothing, because it's like the Lord will hush their mouths and people will listen and it'll get across.
Amen.
But tonight, I'd like to start out with a little story that the preacher told, and hope I tell it part right. Said the pastor was after pastoring a church for 40 years or so, yes, you know, he was doing an interview and asked him if he could do it all over again, you know, what, if there's anything that he would change, what would he change? And he said that he would like to teach his congregation the joy of giving. You know, like that. It's you know, it's a very important thing, and that's part of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Well, why it's important to give and so forth. And I hope I just pray that the Lord will help me. I'm going to pray right now and ask God to just bless this. And, but our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask God that you'll just give blessings into your word.
Yes.
Lord, help open hearts and loose my tongue, oh God, and just speak to us. Lord, and just open our eyes and our ears spiritually to your word and what you're trying to say. Lord, give me the help of the Holy Spirit to get it across lovingly and simply, Lord, like you have it. And Lord, I just ask that you just give us a great burden, Lord, of forgiving and loving and just doing all that you'd have us to do here at this church as a family. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I like the John 3:16 is what I'm going to be reading out of tonight. And it's one of the most popular verses in the Bible, most memorized, I guess. A lot of people know John 3:16. And I've heard a lot of preachers preach out of it, and some preachers preach out of it 100 times, but never the same. Each time they preach out of it, you can always get so much love in there that you can never empty it out. But I was going to ask a question. Can love be measured? And let's look at this verse, thinking about that, and if we can measure our love. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." So love can only be measured. He said it can be measured, because, and how can it be measured? By how much you give. It shows by how much you love, by how much you give. Let's read this verse again. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave," what did He give? Everything. His only begotten Son.
Right.
So, you know, in this Christian life, it's very important that we give to one another and to show love and stuff like that. For it says, "So love can not only be measured, but we can see what is and who is or what is being loved." It says, "What did God give to the world?" So we can see and say that God has a heart for all the world, all lost sinners.
Yes.
Because that's what He gave to. It says, "But where is our hearts? What are our hearts' treasures? What do we give ourselves to?" The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if you want to know where your heart is, you follow the money trail. Follow where your wallet goes. It says, I want to ask ourselves some questions. It says, where and to what do you give most of your money to? Does the mall or the Walmart get most of your money? Does the credit card companies, car lots, sporting goods stores? I know it's different for men and women. So ladies, you know, ask yourself, you know, how many outfits do you really need? How many pairs of shoes? Man, how many cars, how many new trucks, guns, bows, fishing tackle, boats do you need? Young people, you know, how many games, computers, big screen TVs, you know, how many of these things do we need? We need TVs for each bedroom and everywhere else, you know. Really, how much do we need? It says, the Bible says also, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." I'm not saying that having things is wrong or having some nice things is wrong, but I'm trying to get us to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves like the Bible says. It says, because what you give your time to and what you spend your money on is what you'll be known for.
Right.
You know, like that, or known as. So whatever you also allow to consume your heart will be what you give to. You know, so let us ask ourselves, do we always got to have the best and the newest and the most stylish and the most, you know, like that, because it seems like that's what a lot of us think. We have so much and we give so little. You know, I read a statistic that said that Americans, there's 210 countries in the world, and Americans spend more on trash bags than 90 countries gross in a year. So we spend more money on the things that we throw away on than 90 other countries gross in a year. You know, just God has so blessed us. We have so much, and yet again we give so little. Makes me think, like what the preacher said the other night. He said that Americans are the richest people on earth. He said, but we'll be the poorest in heaven. You know, like that. It really made me think. You know, like because we give the least. He says that he sort of sees these poor people serving the Lord so much with, you know, the joy and giving what little they have, and here we're sitting on, you know, lots more. And give the least. You know, God does this, you know, proportionally. He sees what you give. The widow that gave the two mites gave the most.
Right.
You know, so it's not what little you have or what little you give. It's the fact that you give it. You know, if you only got a little, give a little. You know, like that. If you got a bunch, you give a bunch. You know, like that. Lord does. You know, so if we look at all the things we spend our time, our money on, you know, like that, and then we... Now we compare all the spending of money to what we give to missions. Compare all the time you spend going shopping on the time you're going out on visitation. You know, compare what we have all given to the Seed Line missions, you know, compared to what we give everything else. Look at all that you give the world and all the time that you spend in it, and then look at what you spend in God's work, God's time, and visitations, stuff like that, going on door knocking. You know, this really, you know, preached a lot to me. You know, taught me a lot. You know, you got to look at yourself. You know, I just want to read now in Ezekiel. Now this is God speaking. In Ezekiel 16, 48-49, it says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done." Now he's speaking to his own people. He's speaking to God's people. And this is what he's saying. Remember, he's speaking to God's people. He's saying, "As I live, saith the Lord, Sodom thy sister has not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy." You know, so if God so judged the heathen who didn't know better, we're in a lot of trouble. You know, if he expected Sodom to give and to help, and they didn't even know the Lord, us as Christians we will be judged by this for all that we spend on ourselves. It says that the sin of Sodom was pride. We spend a lot of stuff on how we look, you know, what we gotta, you know, have, or, you know, I mean, just anything. We spend a lot of money on shoes and clothes and pants and, you know, diamond rings and necklaces and just whatever, you know, like that. And it's all because you know, like that. It says the pride of life, you know, like that. And then the second, it says the fullness of bread. They have plenty to eat. You know, and there's people starving. They don't help give, you know, or anything. And it says the abundance of idleness. You know, and how guilty are lots of us. And the abundance of idleness, sitting by, is what puts you to sleep. The devil rocks Christians asleep by a little slumber, it says. Just sitting back, being content, you know, like that. And before you know it, life's over. People are in hell. You know, and the Lord's back, and there's a few things you can't do in heaven, and witnessing is one of them.
Right.
After we go to heaven, you'll never witness to another person. You'll never have another chance to win another soul. And what you've done here on this earth will be what you're rewarded for over there. And John 14:12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, what he's saying is, when I used to read that as an early Christian, I thought that meant if I had enough faith, I can, you know, make the blind see, you know, like that, and make the deaf hear, you know, all these things like that. And but I realize now that what he's saying is that it's far more a greater miracle that I can give someone the gospel. I give them the light, and God save their soul, bring them out from death into life for all eternity, is much more important than you couldn't walk and now, you know, you can't. That's not going to matter in a million years. You know, like, you're going to be like, it's going to be a much greater thing that you got saved, that you passed from death into life. That's a greater miracle.
Right.
We're all supposed to be little Christians, little Christ. Jesus was one man in one place. We're supposed to be like him. We should be 30 or 40 Jesuses right here, spreading the word, having a heart like he had, having the mind of Christ.
Right.
Look what we could do.
Right.
Like that. But yeah, we are not little Christ, little Christians that he's supposed to be. We are supposed to be the body. And the body is supposed to be helping, reaching out, ministering. We're the body of Christ. You're supposed to minister and give the gospel and help the sick and the poor and the needy. But we're helping ourselves. That's not the mind of Christ. That's not what we're called to do. So I got ahead of myself just a little bit. But let me get here. So we're supposed to spread the, you know, the power of the gospel on the cross, spreading it worldwide through all the resources we have. You know, like the preacher always says, we have more than we ever had. We have a Bible, and, you know, we have more technology and resources to spread the gospel, and we're doing the least now than they did before. You know, like that. We're in a sad time. you know, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. If God's going to get a work done, He does it through His children. He does it through us.
Right. That's right.
And I remember a story the preacher told that I didn't forget, that when Cornelius was praying about knowing the Lord, knowing God, he sent an angel to Peter. He could have easily sent the angel to Cornelius, but he sent it to Peter, somebody who knew about salvation and redemption, because he's the body of Christ. He said, Peter, get to Cornelius. And Peter had to go. You know, that's just like now, like the preacher's preaching Sunday night, when Paul wanted to go this way, but God said, no, there's, Lydia this way. You know, like that. He followed and obeyed. He acted like the body of Christ was supposed to, and he was obedient, and he went. You know, like that. And that's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. We're supposed to do His work. There's all kinds of things that, that the Lord, we think that we're always doing God favors, coming to church or, praising or, just whatever like that. That's for us. That encourages us. When you give God glory, that's great. But God's infinite in glory. You can't make Him any greater. You're just able to see Him as He is. When you get excited and you worship, your faith has grown enough where you're seeing God for who He is and what He is, and that's where your worship comes from. I mean, it's just automatic. He demands worship whenever you see Him like that. But what God wants us to do, we don't, and that's win souls. He says that He will that all men be saved.
Right.
God don't get everything He wants. But He could. We got to do the work. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He can't. One thing, like preacher said, that's one thing that, what can you give a God that has everything? What does the God have? He has the only thing that He has that, I'm lost myself. The only thing that you can give a God that has everything is your love. That's it. He don't make you love Him. And our job is to love God enough that we go around and tell other people how great He is.
Right.
And they glorify God. It says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father. Not you, but them.
Right.
So they'll see Him for who He is. And they'll say, hey, there's something to this. And they'll get saved. You see. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that the Bible is full and completely of us giving to win souls, because I hate to, I'm going to quote a verse, and well, not quote it, but in Ezekiel, it says that, he tells Ezekiel that if you don't go out and warn the wicked man of his transgressions, and he says that God will put His blood upon Ezekiel's hands. That, as a preacher's job, or someone teaching the Word of God, the man said the other night, Dr. Stanfry said the other night, that he said there's two responsibilities to each sermon. His, he delivers it as God give it to him, and then what you do with it. So a preacher's responsibility is to take the responsibility of the blood off of his hands and put it on the congregation. And the rest of it is up to you. And that's what it is. And so what it is tonight, that the Lord wanted me to say, if He's called you to do something, you do it. Just because you decide that you don't want to, you're still going to be judged for it. And like this, like if you had a job, and your boss said, this was your responsibility, and I'm going to come when I come back and when I'm done. And when he gets back, you only done half of them. Why didn't you do the other half? Well, I didn't feel like it, or I didn't, know that that's, whatever excuse you're going to make, it don't matter. You're still going to be, he's not going to say, oh, that's all right. Just like when you get to heaven, if God calls you to do something, if He tells you to do something, whether you do it or not, you're still going to get judged for it. You just didn't even try. So, but we're not judged by our sins when we get to heaven. We're judged by our works.
Right.
So he's going to say, these are all the things you could have had by giving. These are all the people that could have went to heaven. You're going to see these things. Well, this is what you could have done. And you're going to say, and you're going to have the blood on your hands. Just because you decided not to do it, don't mean that he's just going to take it off. He told you. This is your responsibility. So I don't want to get to heaven to when I get there and know that I could have had so much more,
but because I wanted to spend all my time and all my money on a thing that I might have for a short 30 or 40 years, you know, like that. It's all going to burn up, you know, kill myself for it, you know, like that, live for it, and then I'll go away and then get an attorney and be like, oh, I'm going to be here forever. And I don't have anything, you know, like I don't have no crowns. You know, it's really hard for me to accept good gifts from people, something free. You know, just, you know, here. For some reason, it's just hard for somebody to give me something and me not feel guilty like I owe them. You know, like that, I don't know why, it's probably not a good thing, but, you know, like, but when I get to heaven and I see Jesus Christ and he saved my soul, he's done everything for me, and then I don't have nothing to give him in return, well, I could have had a lot more. How awful am I going to feel? You know, when I sit down at the marriage supper, you know, like that, and Jesus Christ girded himself to serve me, and I haven't done nothing, I haven't brought anybody, how awful am I going to feel? You know, like that, and I don't, wow, I don't want that. You know, like that, I want to help win souls. I want to help give, and so, like when the man said the other night, he said that he's got all these tracts for Donna Romans to send out to Kenya. But he needs $7,000 to send them. I was thinking, man, that's a fortune to be made. You know, like that in heaven. You know, like that. You can give that money. You know, like that. Because he said each one, they can read up to 7 times. They pass it on. You know, 7 souls get saved like that. And then they pass on 7 more, 7 more, 7 more like that. And I'm thinking, what an investment. I wish I had $7,000. You know, like that. But you can give whatever you have. You know, like that. I'm just trying to make it look at it. Because a lot of people always want to try to make money. You know, like that. But I'm saying that Jesus Christ himself gave you inside tip. He said that, you know, if you win one, they said they can give 10 times fruit, 50 times fruit, 100 times fold. You know, like that. So if you, you know, imagine people that won like D.L. Moody, you know, like that, or, you know, just a certain, you know, people that gave to help win certain preachers that won millions. The people that won them to the Lord and told them about Jesus Christ are going to be, they get an account for it also. You know, like that. So I want to be trying to give out spread seed. Give to the seed line, you know, like that, because the Bible also says in Psalms 119:130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple, like that. And God don't give people sight in the dark. They have to have the Word of God, you know, like that. They can't be saved without it. You know, what help would it be to give someone sight if they're in the dark? You know, like that. So you have to send them tracts. You have to get people out the Word of God so they can have it and then they can be saved. You know, like that, because otherwise there's no help. There's no other way. You got to have the gospel. And that's why it's so important. And I don't want to make it sound, God called them rewards. It's okay to look forward to good stuff in heaven. I want to invest in souls and get a bunch, you know, like that, and have something to look forward to when I get older. Sure. You know, like that, or now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm not going to be like, or feel, you know, bad because I just, you know, I don't know. I just want to put it that God said, remember all my benefits. I'm going to give you stuff for what you're doing right now. You know, like that. He's going to encourage you. You got stuff to win. You know, race, go for it. You know, just give what you got. But, you know, it's not bad to have stuff. I just want people to take a time out tonight and just ask, you know, is there more I can give? Is there more I can do than keep spending it on myself? You know, like that, and keep doing it on myself. You know, it says, he that wins souls is wise. You know, like that, not he that makes good grades, he that, you know, builds computers, you know, whatever it is. It says, he that wins souls. You know, like that, because later on, you know, that still is going to matter. Whether what kind of grades you made or, you know, what you did, it's going to matter if you won souls. If you told people the gospel, if you gave commissions, you know, and so I just think it's a wonderful thing to be able to give, be able to be part of, you know, like that, because and it's a challenge to me, you know, like that. That's a new thing I'm going to do. I know that two faithful men, I know that Kevin, you know, I don't, you know, I haven't been on visitation in a little while. I've been, every time I said I was going to go last, I've had to work every Saturday, but you know, I look up to Kevin and the preacher. They go door knocking all the time. Two people have a whole church, you know, like that. That's sad, really, you know, like that. And I want to help them, you know, like that, and put, you know, good things, you know, get good things on hand, get that track in there to give out, you know. It's going to be great, you know, and I just want people to pray for it. And, you know, the thing that you can do is ask ask for God to give you a burden for lost souls. If you don't have it, say, God, you know, please, my heart's hard, help them away to love people. You know, I get to want to win souls. You know, to not be afraid. Preachers, you know, and one thing I realize is that in the Bible, every time it says that someone was filled with the Spirit, they was witnessing. And I like being filled with the Spirit. It feels good. And I like to, and that's why I like to witness a lot. You know, like that, even though sometimes it might be, a, you know, kind of, I don't like dogs. You know, like that, you know, big ones. So, so usually we go, because I can't run real fast. You know, like that. So I don't like big dogs. But, you know, but I get filled with the Spirit. You know, I'll be like, oh, Lord, help me through this. You know what I'm saying? Or I go talking to people. And it seems like God just comes to say it. And what I think, what I used to think was a fearful thing, because it seems like when I go, I sit there and I'm scared. I'm nervous. And, but when I get to the door, I do all the talking. You know, I get like, yeah, you know, I get to talk to them. They ask them questions, and I get to talk to them like that. Yeah. But before, I'm terrified. But when I get there, when I do, man, it's just like the Spirit says, all right, and it smooths in. He gets control of my thoughts. He controls what I say to my mouth. You know, all that stuff like that. And I get in the car and go, wow, you know, that was good. You know, like that. And I may not see the fruits of it right then, but the seed's been planted, and I depend on God because He said that you give the seed, some will water, and some will give increase, and His word won't return to Him void. You know, like that. So
right.
You can't lose.
Right.
You know, like that. So just ask the preacher to come up, and he'll you know, pray for us. Maybe have an altar call, and we'll all pray and ask God to renew our hearts, give us a good, you know, burden for lost souls, and help the church to. To do this D-line ministry thing and all this, you know. Let's make a difference.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. We're going to sing Send the Light. Lydia and Kevin, if y'all get that song for us. I don't know if you realize it, but that's the third Wednesday night in a row that the subject has been given to missions. I don't think that's an accident. I think the Lord's trying to speak to us. It'd be a terrible thing to be lost today because so few people care and so few people ever witness or ever pray or ever give. And we just need to do what we can. Do what we can. It's alright to have things, but when things have you, you're in bad trouble. You are in bad shape. And you don't have to be a millionaire either to be overcome and obsessed with things. Yeah. We just need to use what we have. Do what we can. And let's stand together. We'll sing a couple of verses.
Thank you.
left, but he promised. He said that's what the average person does. If there's anything left, we'll give the Lord the promise. Churches in England and Scotland, Ireland and Wales, thinking and praying about whether to send missionaries to America or not. Aren't you glad they can't send them?
Yeah.
If not, we wouldn't be here tonight. We'd be like Africa or China or India, a nation without God. So somebody sent the gospel to you and me, and it's a debt we owe, and we ought to pass it on. Amen. Appreciate the challenge. I like what Sherman said about coming to church. He said, you're not doing God a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. Amen. I like that. You'll hear me quote you on that one. Amen. I like that. But
You know, time passes us all swiftly by, and we're not going to get to come back and do it over. And it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And the bottom line is love. God so loved that He gave, and if our love for the Lord's right, everything will fall in place. And if we don't love the Lord like we should, we're going to find everything difficult. Everything difficult and next to impossible if we don't love the Lord. That's the bottom line. We're going to go ahead and have our closing prayer tonight. I know the service has been a little different tonight. Many requests of prayer. Anybody have a spoken request, testimony?